Claire, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program. Now, looking at the system as it currently stands, we're being told the ATAR system is considered meaningless by some officials. Why is that? What are the issues with the current system?
It really depends on what you want to use the system for. So the system was originally created to help sift and sort the top 10 to 15% of students who used to be the ones who would go to university. And what the ATAR does is ranks students relative to each other. So you can put them basically in a line and say who the top students are and who the lowest students are and set your cutoff scores for different courses in universities. What the ATAR doesn't do is tell you what students actually know about a subject. So the difference is, if you really want to know what students are suited to particular subject areas, the ATAR doesn't tell you that. So with more students now coming to university than we used to have, so up to 40% of people now are getting a degree, you probably want a more fine-grained assessment about who's likely to be successful if they go to university and what do they know, so that we know which courses best suit them.
So what kind of changes are, you know, is the government actually looking at in order to perhaps improve that?
So the government's looking at a range of options, and really it all comes back to what is our tertiary system trying to do and for whose benefit? And that's really at the heart of this debate. Do we see tertiary education as a public good or a private good, in which case the user pays? And I think probably some vice-chancellors would be saying to you, government is shifting the emphasis of university to being something that benefits the person who goes to university first and foremost. So it's a private good, and thus the user should pay for that. In the old days, the belief was, particularly in the Whitlam days when university education was free, that was because it was seen as a public good. The whole of our society and community benefits from having people who are able to think critically about deep problems and work through 3 or 4 years of learning how to think carefully, think critically, work in teams, work collaboratively, learn in depth about complex issues. So that's the real difference that's shifted over these years.
Well, it's quite interesting because not only do we have this, 40% of students now going on to tertiary education as opposed to 15%, but we also have these debates that are at current about the worth of the degree itself, whether that's really going to help you get a job in the current market, in the present day market. Is that kind of discussion sort of having an impact on this debate as well, whether the degree itself is worth anything?
Definitely, and you see that played out a lot in the media. And again, it comes back to what do you think the tertiary system should be trying to do? Should it be trying to provide deep content knowledge for particular careers and occupations? Well, good luck with that, because there are a whole lot of careers and jobs that don't exist yet, but for whom the current university students will end up working in those areas. We don't know what those jobs are. So if you think more discreetly that you should go to university to study a particular discipline and learn all there is to know about it, then you're probably already working off a false pretense. If you think more broadly, though, that university is about learning these deeper critical thinking skills, problem-solving skills, collaboration, and so on, then to some extent, what they study matters less than what they learn about learning and thinking.
Okay, so going forward, how does it actually compare on sort of a global scale? You mentioned there during the Whitlam era we had the free schooling, and nowadays there's more private interest in the running of these universities, but certainly I haven't heard the same criticisms that come out of, say, the United States. The United States get a great deal of criticism towards their college system and the cost that's actually involved. So in terms of the worth of the degree and the cost of education, how do we actually compare?
Well, you find actually that in the US that is a very hot debate, and there are a lot of people, because the cost of university education in America is so prohibitive to some socioeconomic groups, it's an even more polarized argument in the US. So some people are looking for a justification of not going to university by using that argument of, well, what's a Bachelor of Arts degree worth anyway? It doesn't prepare me for a particular job. So in some respects, the high cost of a university degree in the US is driving that argument, as that leads people to question whether or not a university degree is worth the cost and the paper that it's written on.
So what would you say to, say, a high school student that's looking at maybe going into tertiary education, thinking about what they might get out of a degree? What would you actually say to somebody right now who's not quite certain about what they want to be doing?
The same advice I give to anybody who's finishing year 12. It's such a hard decision to make, but you can simplify it. The answer to that question is, where do you want to start? Because these days when people have anywhere between 5 and 10 careers in their lifetime, where they end up will not be anywhere close to where they start, quite likely. So really, to simplify that decision, all you need to know is, what are the things that interest you? What would you do that you would do regardless of whether anyone paid you or not? What are you most interested in learning more about? And if that requires knowledge that you gain through studying at a university, then choose a course that's going to give you that sort of knowledge and understanding that you need in order to pursue a career in that particular area. If you can get that knowledge by not going to university, then absolutely try that pathway.
Well, Claire, thank you very much. Do appreciate you coming on this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this, because it really is at the moment a very difficult decision for a lot of young people to be making.
It is, and I would just say to those young people, just keep it simple. What is the thing that excites you most? And pursue that in your first instance, and that will guide you well.
Absolutely. Claire, thank you. You have a very good day.
Thank you.